to another episode of Pearls of Passage. I'm your host, Ellie Atherton. Recently, while back visiting my parents, I connected with a friend, a childhood friend and neighbor. We got chatting about her mom, who has passed away. And in our discussion, leave it to me, I somehow brought up forgiveness around something that she said. And she said, wow, I'd never thought about forgiveness in that way. And so that was my opportunity to say, this is a perfect person to sit down with and talk to during these episodes because she's in a different place with it. And I think that can help more people who are in a similar place, maybe just starting out on the path to forgiveness, just starting to understand the different facets of it. It's complicated, and I think every story that you hear that you can relate to personally helps you to make more progress for yourself. And that's my goal. I'd love to help as many people as possible to work toward forgiveness in their lives so they can feel more joy and happiness. I certainly don't have all the answers, and really all I can share is my own experiences. I've been at this for years, always trying to understand more about how to forgive and not take things personally or make assumptions about why people are reacting in a certain way. So let's dive in. This is Jody's perspective, and her sister Anne pops in near the end, but unfortunately I didn't have another lapel mic, so we couldn't hook her up, but you'll hear her a little bit in the background. Today I'm sitting down with my childhood friend and neighbor, Jody Bowen Skalski. Mm-hmm. So thanks for being here, sitting in the hot seat.
No, thanks for having me.
Jody and I used to hang out when I moved to Greenfield in 72. You were one of my very first friends, of course, because you were right across the street. And what I learned from you was gymnastics.
Oh, yeah.
You taught me how to do cartwheels, and we used to go to the YMCA, I learned how to walk in the balance beam, the uneven bars. I love the uneven bars. Mm-hmm. And we used to get on the trampoline and bounce to Carly Simon, You're So Vain.
See?
Remember?
And that's what you used to play in the car. I was telling you yesterday.
Oh, You're So Vain. And we used to sing it at the top
that's
of our lungs.
That's so funny. I forgot about gymnastics, but I used to do it out on the lawn.
Yes, you did. And that's where you taught me. I never got the back flips down, but you guys were amazing.
Yeah, we could do that.
Yeah, you could.
Not now.
Oh, come on. Let's give it a try right here on the rug. If you will, I will. But yeah, so that's how we met. And then we used to walk to school together, back through your yard.
Yeah.
And the other great memory, sleeping at your house and getting up and your mom made peanut butter toast and chocolate milk, and it was like having a Reese's for breakfast.
Right,
and
right.
And I love that. Do you still eat it?
Yep. I don't do it every day. Sandy does. I don't.
Well, but, it's a good breakfast. You got your protein.
I know, exactly.
So
that's funny.
So when we were talking before, I loved your mom.
Yeah.
Everyone loved your mom.
Yeah, she was a sweetheart.
She had a great laugh, just like you.
Yeah, yeah.
She was always smiling and just such a happy person.
I know.
So
she had such a good outlook.
I would say jolly is almost the word for your mom.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, she had a good outlook.
And I don't know how, because she had a rough, you know, upbringing.
Oh, she did?
Well, her dad, he died when she was 4 years old.
Wow.
And he was electrocuted on his job.
Oh, my gosh,
so she
that's
never
traumatic.
Really got to know him. And then her mom, her mom had a really rough life. She grew up in, like, you know, with nuns in New York City.
Oh, my.
She was, like, in an orphanage.
No kidding.
Yeah. And then she had a brother who was 10 years older than her, so she didn't really have any close.
She was like an only.
Yeah. And then, of course, you know, she met my dad and everything, and it wasn't a happy marriage.
And they were so different.
They were opposite.
You wonder, you look at people who are together for a long time, and you think, they're so different. What brought them together? Do you
know
the story?
They met at a dance.
Ah.
And they met at a dance, and my father was a very good-looking guy.
Yeah,
and he was kind of like that bad boy.
Yeah. And she was so cute and petite.
She was. She was very tiny and everything, but Well, then I found out years later, I realized I didn't know it when I was young, but they had to get married. She was pregnant with my brother.
That happened a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
And so, but I mean, they're just opposites because she's so positive.
Right.
And my father was more depressed and negative and angry all the time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how she stayed so positive is amazing to me.
Maybe that was her survival.
I guess, yeah.
Some and people do.
I mean, she was our world. You know, she just was everything. And
yeah, I can see that.
So she rubbed off, I think, on us. And,
I think so, too.
Yeah.
You guys are all just lovely, happy.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, when I think of you, I think of us laughing. We're always laughing. That's why when we sat down to talk and we got into talking about how your mom died and what happened. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that's hard to talk about.
Yeah.
It's emotional.
It is.
And then it opened up some other conversations.
Yes.
So then we're all sitting here crying.
I know.
It's
no
like,
kidding.
So good to see Ellie again.
I know. After you left, I thought, oh, I'm just blubbering. This
but
poor girl.
I know. You wrote me. No, not poor me. I mean, I felt honored that
but
you
see,
opened
I'm a
up
very,
and shared
I think
things.
I'm like you, where I'm a very emotional person.
Yeah.
I go on emotions. I'm very
me
deep.
Too. Me too.
You know, and sometimes I just like to be light, but for the most part, I'm very emotional and deep. I take things in all around me.
Well, and I think there's only certain people we can talk like that with
yes.
and feel comfortable.
Yes, I
and
agree.
So that's why when you texted me and you were like, I'm sorry, you know, I was like, don't be sorry. I was honored that we could go into that discussion that we shared things that, you know,
no,
you have to feel it.
I never talk about that with anybody.
Yeah,
I
honor that. And that's another thing about me, I think. People who know me, or a lot of times patients I met who didn't know me, knew they could trust me.
Right.
And
they
would tell me things that were never going to leave that room because they just needed to say it
yes.
to get into that conversation about forgiveness.
Right.
And that's how we got going. And had you really thought about forgiveness before we got chatting?
Very little. Very little.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I always felt like the bad stuff that has come my way, I deserved.
Oh.
Yes.
I used to hear that a lot from people.
I still carry that.
You don't deserve it. You know that, right?
I do know that.
Intellectually.
And yet, like, I think about the forgiveness part, and it's like, I want to do these steps. I don't know how. How do I get there?
Yeah.
Like, when I heard your interview with Marsha.
Yes.
It was like she got there, and I was like,
How did she do
I want to know the how.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's tough.
Well, it is tough, and I'm in it, and I've been in it for years, but I am a forgiving person by nature.
Yeah.
When I understood forgiveness in a different way, learning from dying people, I knew about it, and I would go and apologize for little things, say, I had a disagreement with, feel bad about it because I'm like compassionate, empathetic, and it bothers me.
Right.
So then I'd have to get up, I'd be mad. Mm-hmm. I'd be really mad. And I'd journal because that's how I got my stuff out of me. And then I'd say, I have to say, I'm sorry. Now, I didn't think about this until more recent years that, you know, when you decide to offer apology to someone, you have to just accept how they respond.
Right.
That was another hard thing, but I seem to have been able to just do it and know that it felt good to me, and even if it didn't mean that much to whoever was receiving it, that was okay.
Yes.
So that was just kind of part of me, thank God. So, but I would have to get my courage up. I wouldn't say I agree that whatever we discussed,
right,
I wouldn't be
not
saying...
Not necessarily saying they're right.
Yeah, no, it wasn't about right and wrong for me. It wasn't about right and wrong. It was about that I feel badly about this thing, and I just want you to know I feel bad, and I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry that we argued. I'm sorry I upset you. I'm sorry. You know, just that. That's what I was sorry about. Then the dying people were in a place, like you said, they felt they didn't deserve it, and that... because I am compassionate and empathetic. I don't like to see people suffering. It upsets me.
Right.
I mean, again, it was times where things would come out of my mouth and I'd think, where did I get that? But it seemed right, you know?
Yeah.
And they'd say they didn't deserve to be forgiven. They deserve to feel the physical pain. They didn't want to take meds. And I was like, please.
Yeah.
You don't have to do this.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to take away what happened if you sit here writhing in pain before you die.
Right.
It doesn't change the past.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, this is what came out of me. In the first time it came out, it was an intense conversation with a guy. And he had not been good to his family. He said, I had a good family, and he was really, like, hating on himself. Mm. And I said, so did your family ever do things that hurt your feelings? Oh, yeah. I said, could you forgive them? He said, yeah. I said, so if people do something and it's not nice or comes out in a way that hurts someone else,
right.
But they basically, I'm like, do you think they were doing the best they could in those situations where they hurt you? And he says, yeah. And I said, now what about you? Were you doing the best you could most of the time? And he said, yeah, but I was still I won't use the words he used, but, you know, right. I was a great big jerk.
Yep.
And I said, but were you doing the best you could? All things considered, with the hours you were working, he was carrying the load and working mm-hmm. so much and very stressed and not really happy.
Right.
And he said, well, yeah, you know, it was a tough life, and I used to drown my anger and drinking, and, you know, then I was even more of a jerk. And I said, but were you doing the best you could with all things considered? And he said, yeah. And I said, so you can forgive other people for doing that, but you can't forgive yourself? And then it was kind of like that little eureka moment for him. He right. got all teary.
Right. Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not trying to make you cry here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Forgive yourself, because if right. you did the best you could, you can't go back and fix it. Now here you are. Right. What can we do with it? If you can forgive yourself, maybe for once in your life, you can feel a little peace mm-hmm. and not suffer, because you're suffering when you're punishing yourself.
Yes.
And yeah. it was like this whole discussion where I don't know where it, I had never had it.
Wow.
I'd never thought like that. It was just, I wanted to dig in with him because mm-hmm. he was suffering.
Yes. Yeah.
And I went and talked to my friend Will after, mm-hmm. and we talked about suffering, and he's the one that taught me forgiveness is a gift you give to yourself. And I was like, wow. Mm-hmm. You know, this is 20 years ago. I never thought of it that way. Right. And it wasn't like thrown around like it is today.
No.
You hear it all the time, but 20 years ago, you weren't hearing
no.
that all the time.
No.
And I thought about it, and I was like, man, this was the thing about Will. He was so profound.
Mm-hmm.
He'd make a little statement that would change my world.
Wow.
And
that's
how
great.
I saw it. It was great.
Yeah.
He was such a gift in my life. Is. He's still around.
Mm-hmm.
I can feel him. Yeah. I feel his love, and I feel him like kind of pushing me through these times and the writing and stuff. He was mm-hmm. such a great support.
Wow.
But he said that. He said, and then he taught me about the gift of suffering, which was another big stretch. I was like, the gift of suffering?
Yeah, I don't understand that.
Yeah. So, but that's how we grow.
Mm-hmm.
Like, think about the toughest times in your life, the things you've gone through.
Yeah.
Do you think you grew as a person during those times?
Yeah.
Right?
Definitely.
Me too.
Yeah.
So I can see when I was struggling the most and had to, you know, dig down deep to find the courage or the strength to do things or the independence to stand on my own two feet or whatever it was. It was really hard, sometimes really scary.
Yes.
I tripped a lot, but I got up and dusted myself off and mm-hmm. said, okay,
right.
you know, you're not going to get me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to keep going.
Right.
I grew as a person.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy, thank God, the story has a good ending. He had some tears about it. And he said, I never, ever would have thought about it like that.
Right.
Never.
Right.
And I said, well, you're still here. You're mm-hmm. not dead yet.
Yeah.
You know, and I'd try to get him to laugh. Like, I would always try
yeah.
to help people laugh, too, in those times.
You're good at that.
Thank you. It diffuses that emotion
mm-hmm.
so that you can move through it.
Right.
You know, not that you're denying it or pushing it away, but at a certain point, you have to help lift it a little so they can take another step forward mm-hmm. on that little stepping stone pathway.
Right.
So then that would lighten it a little, and we talk, and I'd say, you know, sometimes if you can forgive yourself and just saying to your family, I'm sorry I was a jerk so much.
Mm-hmm.
Here I am at the end. I can't go back, but
right.
you're all so great. And this is kind of what he came up with on his own. He
yep.
said, you're such a great family.
Mm-hmm.
I so wish I had been more present. I had been kinder. Oh, my God, that conversation
wow.
to the family
I bet.
Was just...
incredible.
It was incredible.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, it made all the difference for them to forgive him.
Yes.
Because they had huge stuff to forgive him
right.
for. They were having guilt because some of them were like, I don't care if he dies.
Right.
I've had enough of his abuse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
you know? And they felt he deserved what he was going through, which is another sad thing.
Yes, yeah.
And then after they die, you have to live with that because you're like, I feel so bad.
Mm-hmm.
So all these facets of forgiveness. Yes. Yeah. That's why I'm on this little mission, because I love these little experiments I'm doing on my own. You're a part of my human experiment on forgiveness. Did I tell you that? Did you sign the consent on that one?
Oh, nope, shoot. I haven't.
I left it out. That was in Clause 7, which was on the last page that didn't print. So, I think learning how it helped so many people, I thought, gosh, if I can help people just even think about it, because we don't want to think about it.
Right.
I have people in my life who just want to focus on the good stuff. Don't talk to me about bad stuff.
Right.
Don't open conversations that are upsetting, because I don't want to have emotions
show.
Don't
want to deal with it. Yeah.
So how do you start it? Those are the ways you start it, having the courage to go in. I know, it's hard.
It is, it's so hard. It's funny, because I was just talking to my sister before you came over about one of my traumas.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I forgave myself for it years ago.
I went
into big time therapy because, you know, well, it was about all different things that were going on at that time.
Yeah.
And, but when I got down to the core of what it was, she told me, she said, what you need to do is write a letter.
Oh, yeah,
that can be
good.
And she said, and, you know, get rid of your guilt and your apologies. And so I said, okay. So I went home and I wrote like a 3 or 4 page letter. And,
excellent.
And then she said, and if you want, you just set it on fire and like, poof,
it's gone. That can be powerful.
So I was like, okay. So I did. I held on to the letter for a long, long time.
Did you read it over a few times?
I did.
Yeah.
And I had it hidden in a nightstand because I didn't ever want my kids to find it. This was a big secret.
Right.
So I never wanted my children to know about it. And so I thought, what if anything happened to me and they found it?
Right.
You know, so I finally decided I burned it.
Yeah.
And it was very freeing.
Good.
It really was. But then when I talked to you last week, it all came flooding back. And I thought, I still haven't forgiven myself for it.
Yeah, it's yourself. So, yeah.
Yes.
That was the part that surprised me the most, was that people could forgive other people.
I can forgive most anybody.
Right.
For almost anything, but not quite
everything.
Me too. But that, myself, I can't seem to get there. And I don't know how to even go about it.
Yeah.
I try to be kind to myself about it, but that's where it comes in that, well, this happened to you years later. It's a bad thing, but you deserved it because of that.
Yeah, so I was just going to say that what I've discovered about forgiveness that's helped me work through it is when I began really standing up to the messages in my head that were basically lies. So the four agreements, one of them is be impeccable with your word. And I thought it's meant, before I read the book, don't tell lies. I'm like, well, that makes sense. But it's deeper than that. The lies it's really talking about are to yourself. And those are the messages in our head that we say, I'm not good at this,
yes.
I'm not good at that.
Right.
Oh, if I do that thing, who the heck do I think I am? And I use myself as an example. Who do I think I am to write a book? I'm not an author. I've never written a book. Ah, you're fully yourself. Who's going to want to read about dying, for God's sakes? Get over it, you know? No. You know, those are lies.
Those are the negative
that
thoughts.
That want to stop you and keep you small.
Mm-hmm.
They keep us small. They keep us in suffering.
Right.
And those are the things you have to, like, you become a warrior against, this is how I see it for me.
Right.
A warrior against those messages that aren't true, that are trying to hold us back from our joy.
Right.
And I think that is the human struggle. In order to have joy and happiness in life, we have to go to war with these things from our past, the messages that have sometimes been put in our head.
Right.
And we can be mad at the person for putting them there, but now we've just victimized ourselves.
Right.
And that doesn't get you any joy and happiness. You might feel like, oh, I'm going to get even with them for that. And you think you're going to feel good about it.
Right.
But you've just compounded your suffering.
True. Yeah.
So I've learned, because I've done all those things. Mm-hmm. You know, I've functioned in all those ways and kept realizing, this isn't working. I'm not feeling better. Mm. And because I'm sensitive, if I did something to get revenge, I felt even worse. I'm like, now I'm real, what a jerk. Yeah. Like, I was going to tell them what for, but now I feel like the great big jerk, because I am. It didn't get me anywhere. Mm-hmm. That's about being right. And that's another tough thing. When someone does something and it hurts you, it comes down to who's right and who's wrong.
Right, yes.
But the four agreements help me see that that other person's suffering, and that's probably why they reacted mm-hmm. in that way. Not that it's right, but they're reacting out of their suffering. Humans were strange that way. When we're hurting, we want other people to feel our pain.
Yes, yeah.
Either in
misery loves company.
Right. Either in an unkind way or just sitting and talking about, oh, you know, my friend or whatever is worse than your friend. Oh, you get to hear what my friend did. Oh, my God. Then you get to one-up me on your friend, how nasty your friend is. And then pretty soon we come to this place where whenever we want to bash on our friend, we get together and we bash together.
Right.
And we think it feels so good. Mm. We're keeping ourselves in suffering.
Right. Yeah.
And so you're like, so what if you can't vent it anywhere and feel validated, what do you do with it?
Right. I know.
Yeah, I don't have all the answers. These are just...
Oh, are you kidding? I thought
I know. Okay, end of the podcast.
Yeah.
No, I love to read these books, mm-hmm. like The Four Agreements. Like you, I'm a deep thinker. I love digging in and trying
too.
To figure things out.
Yes.
This is what works for me. It doesn't mean it's going to work for you. But what worked for me is to say, okay, I am going to take the time to journal it out, mm-hmm. and I'm going to be more honest with myself about my role in it, because I usually have a role in the things that happen.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try not to blame. I do. Mm-hmm. You know, I still have times where I'm like, well, if they hadn't said that, I wouldn't have reacted that way. But it's all about learning how, here comes another agreement, not take it personally, not make assumptions. Mm-hmm. So I'm a big work in progress, and I don't think I'll ever be a complete work.
I wonder if any of us will be. Ever get there?
I don't think we're supposed to here.
Right.
I think we're supposed to just keep mm-hmm. trying to attain that deep joy and happiness by pushing off more and more and more of the negative thoughts growing through.
And then when I heard your podcast with Marcia, that gave me hope because, like I told you before, in my life and who I am, I'm very content with who I am. But I want to feel the joy and the happiness. And when I heard her say, I now feel joy. And I'm like, wow, how did you do that? How did you get there?
Yes.
I want to know.
And I can relate to that.
Because that's my, you know, next thing, you know.
Yeah, I can relate to that deeply. Mm-hmm. And I can honestly say, especially in the last year of my life, when I've had 14 months where I just focused on my books, writing. Mm-hmm. I did not do any nursing work.
I
took like a sabbatical. Mm-hmm. But I, you know, socked away money to do it. It was an intention. I knew the book. I didn't know there were going to be many. I thought it was one book. But so I had time to think and dig into things mm-hmm. and really work through things. And if I was having a day where I was working through some tough stuff and it was emotional, I didn't have to go out and see the world. I didn't have to talk to people. Mm-hmm. I could stay right in it. And sometimes, you know, I was writing it, or sometimes it would bring me to tears to think about something and think, man, you know, I can't go back. That really hurt someone. Mm-hmm. And that's not who I am.
No.
And why would I react that way? Mm.
See, I find it hard to believe that you react that way because you're not that type of person.
Well, not intentionally, but when I'm hurting, and what I realized is I'm coming from a place of my own early years and insecurities I had.
Right.
And things I believed in my head, which I no longer believe. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, when I really stopped believing them, truly, truly did, my reaction changed. It wasn't even like, I had to be aware, mm-hmm. and if it was someone I wasn't emotionally connected to, it was easy to have a new reaction. But if it's you're shaking your head.
Yeah.
If it's someone you really love and you're deeply connected to, this is how I say it. I want to react in the new way, because I know why the feeling comes up when something is said or happens. Mm-hmm. because it's been there for so long. So the little girl or whatever who's always reacted that way, well, now I have the awareness that can say, hold on, sister. We're not going down your road. Let's try this way instead. Well, I can do that. But when it's someone that I love, that little girl in emotion comes up quicker and takes me in the old direction before I have a chance for my new awareness to stop her.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, sometimes she goes less, doesn't go as far, if that makes any
sense. Catch yourself?
I catch myself. Yes. I catch the old reaction. So I call it like the little girl who always reacted a certain way. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I did to help myself protect the me, the little girl who learned all these things that might not have been true. I found a picture of me when I was little, like a little toddler, that I look at and I think, oh, I look cute in that. It's got to be one you really like, and you think that you can look at that little child and be like, I want to protect that child. I would never do anything to hurt that child. Because, you know, if you get a picture of you in junior high, you're going to go, at least me, I'm going to go, I was so skinny, I was homely, it's you're not going to have the same reaction. So I went back to a little, you know, little girl. That's who, so that's what I did to say, if I think about her, I can love that little child. It helped me a lot. It seems silly, but I have it in a cabinet in my bedroom where I can see it, and I say my little prayers every day when I fall asleep and when I wake up. I like to start the day with gratitude and end the day with gratitude. And so I'll look at that and I'll think about protecting that person, and that when she didn't come into the world to be naughty or bad or unkind. I don't think any of us come in with the intention to be like that. You know, to answer your question, how? These are some of the things I did just to start me on it. It's hard, though, and sometimes you can't do it every single day. No. It's just not, I mean...
It's huge. It's just so much bigger than anything. So how do you dwindle that down, you know?
Slowly. Dwindle is a great word because it's not something that happens overnight.
Right.
And the more you trust yourself and can say, yes, in my the deepest core of who I am a good and loving person. Like you hear, you know, we're all God in the human flesh. And I believe that. We all have the goodness and the love, and we're just trying to show it. And the less we focus on what the world thinks about us, that's a big one. And I feel bad for young people today because we didn't have the social media, which is like this big mirror trying to show them what they should look like. But I think it's like at the fair, those mirrors that were all warped. None of them are the real picture of you. So many people, apparently, you hear the research now, will say they're depressed because they feel like they don't have a good life because everyone's so happy. And it's like, no, they're not.
No, they're not. They're only showing the good stuff.
And why do we, why? I used to go to wakes a lot, you know, as a hospice nurse. And when I would be able to go to a funeral, I was surprised at how many times people would get up and say, my dad or my mom never said a bad word about anyone in their life. And they want, you know what I mean?
Yes.
We want to make everyone out to be perfect. And why? Why do we do that?
I don't know. And there's no perfection ever, anywhere, with anyone.
And there's no shame in living life and having relationships. And gosh, relationships are work.
Yeah, they sure are.
And they are going to be painful, and there are going to be good times and bad times. They're not always good. If they're always good, then you're probably just skimming the surface.
Right, right.
Because if it's no work at all, I don't think that's a relationship. In my mind, you can't possibly be really communicating and growing. I don't know why we have to see it as a bad thing. That's what I'm saying.
I know, that's true,
Can't we?
Yeah.
It's just like death. Why do we have to see it as a bad thing?
Right.
We all came and we knew we weren't going to live forever, so why do we make it out to be a failure? Right. It was part of the deal.
Right.
I mean, come on, people. You agreed to it when you came in. Now, at some point, you got to go out.
But we didn't ask to come in.
Well, did we or didn't we? I don't know about that.
That's true.
I don't know.
That's
in
true.
Some of the philosophies I've read, you do pick your parents and your family situation.
I've heard that.
Yeah. And I can say that because I was the more emotional, only really talker about feelings in the family, that just wasn't what we did.
Right.
Which was okay for them, but was challenging for me. Mm-hmm. I believe I picked that. And I believe that I wouldn't be who I am today if I hadn't had to stay my course in such a challenging way.
Oh, I agree.
You know, so I never stopped trying to be communicative and emotional and all of that.
No, I agree.
It wasn't
easy. I mean,
I
don't feel like I'd be who I am today if I didn't have the upbringing and what I lived through.
Yes.
You know, I mean.
How do you think it changed you, Jody?
It made me a better person, I think.
Yes.
It made me a stronger person.
Yes.
More independent.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
I mean, I look at, you know, my father, alcoholic. My mother, the enabler.
Yep.
Always trying to keep calm and peace. I was the fourth, the youngest child.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I didn't feel as important.
A lot of younger children say
I think
say
by
that.
The time they get to you, it's like, go do whatever you want or what.
Yeah.
Which was good. I mean,
in those
I didn't mind.
Days, it was more, I don't want to use the word custodial, but
right.
But
yes.
We were more free to go and do.
Yes.
There weren't
yep.
cell phones. You know, if you had a dime in your pocket and you could call
exactly.
home
yep.
and or buy a Slim Jim, whichever, yep. you know, or a Snickers bar.
Yep.
You
yep.
had a dime, you were good.
Right. I know.
And we were often doing things and no it made us more independent and depending on how your parents were.
Right. Right.
You know?
I think too, that like my mother with her enabling and her kindness and my father's explosive personality, if he was drinking, it was like we all had to be hush, hush, be quiet, don't
right.
rile him. You never tell him no.
Right.
And I think those things got me in trouble as I started dating because I thought, oh, you can't say no, you can't.
Right.
So I got myself into situations
things.
That was not good. But I also think through those experiences, that's what made me like a stronger person, that now that, well, I'm 62,
yeah.
and I feel like this is my time in life now. I've raised my three kids. Mm-hmm. I've, you know,
it is.
I've done all that. And now I just feel like I don't have to be always doing for everybody else or always, if even if I don't want to.
Putting everyone before you.
Yeah, and I'm finally turning that around.
Yeah,
and that's where I think this forgiveness is coming in of myself.
Well, you have time. You have time to think about it and be in forgiveness and not be distracted.
Because
you know, when we were young moms, you don't have time to do a lot of self care as much as you want to.
No,
and it's hard to do it without.
And I always felt
guilt.
It was selfish.
Right.
So I always lived on guilt. I don't do that anymore. I try not to.
Good for you.
The guilt I'm trying to really get rid of.
Yeah.
It was very damaging.
Well, and I think we all have it. But the forgiveness part.
But when I think that I have, and then I find out that I haven't.
Some little button
it's almost
in there.
Like I've been lying to myself. Or I'm telling myself, and I think it's there, but it's not.
Well,
it's like, so how do I get it there to stay?
but you're farther than you were, Jody, right?
Yes.
Could you say that?
Yes, I agree.
We go down the roads of all the emotions, anger.
Right. I feel like it's a setback.
Fear.
You know?
Yeah,
yes.
Then we beat ourselves up for the way we reacted. It's like this vicious cycle. And sometimes I'm not saying ego is a totally bad thing. We need certain aspects of these labels. Everything's labeled today. This is another thing I love to get rid of. I do it too, and I'm trying to do it less. We label narcissist, passive aggressive, enabler, everything's labeled.
Yes.
And when you use a label, it's like saying bad person.
Right.
I'm slapping you with this label because you are bad this way. I think that our own karma is affected when we do that. At least that's how it feels to me. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to say, don't label people because everyone's suffering.
Right.
And so I tell myself, if you don't have any labels sticking to you, girl, then you can go around and start doing your thing. But you got them.
Right.
You're all stuck up
Everybody
all over.
Everybody does. Yeah,
I got
exactly.
a lot of labels. Sometimes I rip them off. Ow! Yeah. Oh, but it was worth it.
Yeah.
It's gone. But, you know, it's really true. So the more I put them into these funny little ways of me dealing with it, and I love humor, so I do try to put humor in.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm doing something, sometimes I laugh at myself and go, you really going to do that again, Ellie? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Come on.
Right.
Or sometimes they'll say it to the universe. You are not tripping me up today. And I'm not going to take it personal. And that's the other piece about forgiveness. If you go to someone and you offer it, and they don't want to accept it, that hurts and it's hard, mm-hmm. but there's nothing you can do about it.
Right, right. And you did your part.
And you still have to forgive yourself, so you can't feel like you're still punishing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That can be tricky.
Yes. Yeah.
And that sounds like that's kind of what's happening to you a little bit.
Yes.
Because you forgive yourself, but then somewhere down there, you're not really buying
exactly. it. Exactly. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Still think I deserve that, whatever bad happens, you know.
Would you say that to your kids?
No, of course not. I wouldn't say it to anybody else but me. I had two horrendous things happen to me, and the second one happened because of the first.
And
I felt, oh, I deserved that.
I put myself in the same situation again.
Yeah.
And that's why I think a lot of people can relate to that in their lives.
Mm.
This is what goes back to what I said at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I really believe a lot of us do and say things not realizing how much it's hurting someone else.
Right.
And then when we realize it, we feel bad about it. And sometimes then we act like a real jerk.
Mm.
Because, do you know what I mean?
Yes, yeah.
And we try to react differently and can't. So now it's that self-fulfilling prophecy that, oh, I'm a jerk, so I'm going to be a jerk.
Right, right, yeah.
This goes back again to that forgiveness, because this is what you have to ask yourself. Were you put on this earth to find joy and happiness and I think even be more loving if you can forgive yourself?
It's just funny, even like you talking about this, like I haven't talked to my brother in almost 3 years.
I know, I'm sorry.
And it's hard. Ian and I just had a conversation, my sister, about it this morning. Because she said, do you think you could ever forgive him? Because we're talking about forgiveness.
Right.
And I said, it's not a matter of forgiving him. I mean, he really hurt me big time.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I do forgive him.
Right.
I said, but I just feel like for what he said and, you know, said to me and was so hurtful in it, that he should be the one that comes to me to try and talk
it
out. Mm-hmm. And she goes, he's never going to do that.
Right.
My brother just doesn't, he doesn't show emotions, and he's very, like, businesslike. So it's like, this is how it is, and, you know.
He was taught by his father.
Yeah, yeah.
How to manage
right.
those emotions. Jody's sister Ann just sat down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to get that out there. I think today, yeah. I was saying to Jody before you came in, on social media and everywhere, everyone wants to pretend that everything's perfect. And
right.
Even good relationships. Life
right.
is not easy. Relationships are hard. And it doesn't mean we all have mental health issues
right.
and that we need to be on a drug for
right.
it. Or
right.
we need, I mean, therapy can be good
yeah.
and it does help people. But sometimes sitting with a girlfriend, I have to say, can be the best
mm-hmm.
therapy in the world for me.
Yeah, me too.
Journaling, best therapy,
yeah.
walking the beach. I mean, I always say, if I lived by the beach, man, I would have my shit together.
Yeah.
I gotta get there before I die, because I just thought I'd be farther on the path by
right.
now. I can sink my feet in the sand. This is a practice I do. And the ocean comes, and you know how it tugs at your feet?
Yes.
And you kind of sink a little. And I do this meditative practice where when it comes, it washes through me and takes all the negativity and it sucks it out to sea.
That's
and
cool.
the sea can handle it.
Yeah.
Because it cleanses it.
Yes.
It's
not easy.
But I feel so much happier and better than I used to feel about
mm-hmm.
myself.
Yeah.
And I just want everyone to feel
see,
it.
See, I want to get that way.
You will get there,
I
Jody.
I want to get there.
Everyone's capable in their own way.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just that you can't do it every day, and you have to be kind to yourself while you're
right.
doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just baby steps.
Well, and like you were saying, too, like the negative
yes.
thoughts, I'm learning slowly to say, why are you
yes.
thinking that? Mm-hmm. Turn that to a positive.
Right.
Good.
But boy, it's hard to do.
It is, but that's exactly what you do.
But it's hard to accept it and really believe it.
I was never taught to be proud of things. Like, it was almost like,
no,
don't be proud
either.
Of yourself.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
bragging.
Yeah.
Did
yes.
you have that?
Yes.
And so if you say to yourself, oh, I did a good job, then there's that little voice saying, Don't be bragging there, sister.
Exactly.
don't talk about yourself in a good way.
Right.
And that's wrong. That's mm-hmm. not true. Because mm-hmm. we have to love ourselves first.
Right.
So we have to be able to say, okay, I did a good job. I did the best I could. Wasn't perfect, and that's okay, because there is no perfect.
Right.
Perfect, I think, is a definition. So I've thrown perfect out the window, because what's perfect to me might not be perfect
right.
to you. So it's just a definition. Just like I used to laugh and say, oh, people say, you know, we're all normal and that family's
yes.
weird. Well, normal's yeah. a definition.
Right,
yeah.
right.
You know, it's what you're used to.
Right. Oh, and that's what we were saying yesterday, too, about how we felt like we grew up in this dysfunctional family. I said, what family was functional? Perfectly
functional. No one talked, but there weren't any.
No, there weren't.
No.
I mean, I know that now.
Now
and it's
we
like,
know.
So that word dysfunction gets thrown around like crazy, and it's like, but what's
another
functional?
Another label that's yeah. not real.
So I never
damaging.
Use that anymore, because it's just...
Another damaging know. Label, yeah.
Yeah.
But when you find these people who just love you for who you are...
Yeah.
And sometimes you find yourself trying to convince them that you're not. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're shaking your head. Yep.
Yeah.
Then you have to say, why am I doing that?
Right. Yeah.
Because they love me for who I am. I just have to take it and accept it and feel it. Let the wall down. I'm a big work in progress.
Sure,
but
yeah.
I like changing and growing.
Mm-hmm.
And I like figuring out
right.
who the heck I am. When I was 17, so in the fall before you graduate, you have to write that thing under your
yes.
senior picture.
Yeah.
And I was determined. I didn't want to put a quote. I love poetry, but I didn't want to put a quote. There were a lot of good things I could have put that I related to, words from a song, stuff like that.
Right, right.
But I wasn't in a lot of clubs, so I didn't have like a whole list of all the things I did. And that's what a lot of people had that. I was like, all right, I got to figure this out. So I took a long ride out to some mountain, not mountain, but I drove out. I think I was stoned because I was, you know, it was
17.
Yeah, I was 17. Laid on the side of this little hill. It was just a grassy hill, and it was sunny, and I was watching the clouds. I love watching the clouds, and I was just thinking, what am I going to write? What do I want to say? Mm-hmm. What do I want to say? So then this is what comes to me. If you accomplish the great task of understanding oneself, there is no understanding too great for you to conquer. And I'm like, that is just, they're going to think you are crazy, but they know you, you're weird, so they'll just go, that's Ellie. And then I'm like, yeah, okay, that, I don't know, there's something about that, I really like it. And then I kept thinking in my head, so challenge, exclamation point. And I lay there for probably another half an hour saying the whole thing. If you accomplish the great task of understanding oneself, there's no understanding too great for you to conquer. So challenge.
And at 17 to come up with this?
And, I was gonna say,
but
no,
I'm laying
no
there.
No way for me.
I couldn't come up with it now.
Really, it was probably really good pot. But anyway, so I'm half an hour before I decided, yep, I am going to put the so challenge on there. But what I learned probably 20 years, maybe even more later, is that that message was just to me.
Yeah.
It was to me to say, challenge yourself to know yourself better.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I didn't even get that last two words that I wrote for like, 25 years or something. Yeah.
Isn't that funny?
I'm a slow learner. Now, truth be told. And so, but I thought, wow, that came to me, and that is who I've been my whole life, digging into problems,
right.
trying to figure it out.
Yep.
And I kind of think that's why we're here, to
Maybe.
Accomplish that great task
mm-hmm.
of who the heck are we?
Right.
And I don't think it's ever the same.
I don't either.
Every person who comes into my life
mm-hmm.
makes me a different person,
mm-hmm.
a better person, or makes me realize something about myself, or teaches me something.
Yeah, yeah.
And I love that. It's the coolest thing
about being
human.
That's true. Yeah.
The love you can have for so many people
mm-hmm.
at such a deep level. Every time you're around people that you love, I think we're teaching each other all the time
mm-hmm.
with this whole forgiveness, reactions,
right.
all that.
Yeah.
Yep.
I know Sandy said to me that when you were here the last time and you left or whatever, and I don't think we ever stop learning. It's part of life.
It is. And learning to, my dad gave me this too, learning to laugh at yourself.
Yes.
Yeah. That has been the, it's a saving grace. Me too. It's a saving grace for me.
Yeah.
Because, sometimes I just, with other people, or sometimes even when I'm alone, I just laugh and think, lighten up.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal, you know? Because I'm always trying to fix things at my house. I just have to laugh. Sometimes laugh and be like, it's good enough. I'm a chick with power tools.
I mean,
it looks, this floor looks pretty damn good. Yeah. The edges aren't perfect,
exactly,
but man,
yeah.
it's
all right.
It looks, I'll put a That's rug funny. Over it. Exactly. The people who buy the house later will be like, man, her handyman stunk.
Who did she get?
Yeah. Jeez, you see that? What a rinky-dink thing that was.
That's
but,
funny.
So did we answer some of the questions about how to start?
I still don't know how.
But you're already doing it.
I am. I guess it's I'm impatient and I want to get there quicker than I can.
There's the thing I for can. Everybody. We want it to happen quick. And that is the one disappointing fact I can tell you from my experience. Forgiveness is not quick.
No, I can see it. I think that'll be going for the rest of my life.
Yeah. Well,
because I'm just... I feel like I'm just really starting it because I never realized it was about forgiving myself. I thought it was about more forgiving other people for stuff. And it's like, I don't really have...
That's not as hard, huh?
No, it's not. That's easy. But, and then I realized it's more about forgiving me. And it's like, wow.
And that's what the dying people said. I can't forgive myself. Mm-hmm. Time and again.
Yeah.
They told me I just can't forgive myself.
Yeah. And I don't want to be that. I don't want to get to the end and be like that.
It's suffering in the worst way.
It is.
And then this is the other part, is that your family has to see that and remember it.
Right.
And I don't want to give that to my kids.
No, me either.
I want to go out, in the best way possible. Just like
everything in the best way. Well, and I think like you talking about suffering, I never looked at it like that before, but the punishing of ourselves is causing the suffering. So that
you got it.
Yeah, that really hit me. And I think I didn't realize I was doing it.
I think when we get to the end, we should feel proud. The way we really honor a life is celebrating and talking about them and laughing and hearing other people tell you how they affected them.
Right.
Is all I feel like it's balm for our hurting souls. And we're all going to keep working on loving ourselves. Right?
That's our homework.
And forgiving.
Forgiving ourselves,
forgiving
loving
ourselves. Yep.
Yep. Because I think, we're pretty happy people.
Yeah, we're good people.
We're good people. Here's to good people and all the good people who are listening. Join in. Start forgiving yourself and loving yourself. You deserve it.
That's right.
All right. Thank you. I love you guys.
We love you too.
Thanks for talking. Oh, I love that laugh. It was great to be with my friends again and just laugh together and reminisce about some of the good times and the funny things we did when we were kids. I hope you got something out of this episode in our discussions around how to get on that path of forgiveness, different ways to start into it, and just hearing Jody's stories and how she didn't recognize pieces of it, or especially the part about forgiving herself. I think that is very common. I don't think we look at forgiveness that way. So that's part of why we're having these discussions and trying to open them up so that more and more people start to realize you've got to, begin with forgiving yourself to really forgive other people. And it is a challenge. So please keep listening, keep trying to apply it in your life. And remember, life offers endless possibilities. We simply need to be open to them. Here's to a good life and a good death. Have a great week.